Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Today we get to talk about all things when we go. When we go. And it's really quite beautiful. If you go to Matthew 28, 18 through to 20, we know that this is the great commission that the Lord Jesus gave to us before he departs. And he says this, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." His death, his resurrection conquers the gap between heaven and earth, and he has now authority across it all, reinstating man's authority in the earth. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Poke the person next to you and say, "All nations." Now, the beautiful thing about nations is that they all have neighborhoods. Every nation has a neighborhood. Poke the person on the other side and say, "Neighborhood." Because the thing is this, right? We need to recognize it's not a matter of if we go, it's when we go. Because the Lord has placed you in a place in time for a sphere of influence in a space where you could bring heaven to earth to somebody else who doesn't know. We've been given this good news of the gospel that changed our lives and the reason in which we gather together. But it was never meant for us to be just consumer Christians. We were meant to be ones who would take this that has been given to us and take it to a world that so desperately needs it. And that we'd be contributors to advancing God's kingdom, as Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." And the beautiful thing about the body of Christ is that as we are placed in neighborhoods to reach, we can actually have a greater sphere of influence than we can as one body just gathering together on a Sunday. You know, the church was actually never designed just to be a group of people that got together and sung Kumbaya, had a great feel moment, and then walked out and just did life. It's actually so that you can go and be Jesus and represent him to a world that desperately needs it. I don't know where the Lord's placed you. I don't know what he has given to you in your neighborhood. But you need to know this. He placed you there. He arranges and combines the body of Christ, but he also determines our time, our destiny, and the place in which he sets us up in order to be able to reach the people in our world. Now, sometimes you and I think about this as Christians in church. We go, "Oh, but the world's just so big, it's so vast, and I wouldn't even know where to start." Just start in your neighborhood. If you just start there, it'll go out to the neighborhoods of the world. And you know, some are here today and you've done mission, you've done the missions trip. You've done mission and maybe done I know there's a lady here who had done like 30 years on the field. And it's a beautiful thing when we actually recognize that mission is not just about what we do overseas. It's about our backyard, our neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods of the world. And today we're going to share the word through different testimony, and we're going to have a panel, and we're going to talk about what it looks like to be on mission. Some of it is our mission partners, Stephen, Maylin, Wyndham, that are here, and they have done a great mission work over in Europe. And then we've got people who are here on the ground in their everyday life doing mission as they go about their lives. But this is the thing. The Lord has placed you where you are to actually impact the place in which you live with this good news of the gospel. Whether it's your hairdresser, whether it's the gym, and the crew that God has connected you with at the gym, or whether it's the basketball, football, soccer club that you as a mom or a dad go to that your kids are a part of. This here is your mission field. This is the place in which God has placed you and called you to reach. It could be your coffee club, it could be the run club, it could be the book club. I don't know what club you're a part of. But who are the people that you see in your world? Who are the people that God has called you to reach? And how can you be a part of reaching the neighborhood to reach the nations? So with that today, would you welcome to the platform those who are going to join us today in this conversation and share the word with us, Steve and Maylin Windham. Ethan Phillips, Amy Russell, and Frankie Sadler. Thanks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Aren't they a good looking bunch?
Yeah.
Yes, love it. Come on. Hey, Pastor Wayne has just gotten back from his trip over to Europe, in which he was an extensive part of some of the ministry that you guys have established over in Europe. And one of the things that Pastor Wayne said to us is probably that you're the most probably unsung heroes that there are. Everyone is hearing about the work that you're doing, but haven't really necessarily connected the fact that you've been a part of it from the very ground up. And at the work that you guys have done together, he just said he was amazed. He said, you're the unsung heroes of the mission field. And people don't necessarily know your name, but they're celebrating what you've done. And I just think that is such a healthy reflection of people who live on mission. Not for the glamour, not for the lights, not for anything else. But Steve, Maylin, could you maybe just give us a bit of an update and a little bit of an insight, especially for those who have joined us recently into the life of the church, a little bit about what you've done and where you've been in Europe and what your mission has looked like across there.
Thanks so much. It was brilliant to have Pastor Wayne across in Europe. He did an amazing job, as you would imagine. He connected extensively across a number of churches that we work with and partner with in Germany and also in Poland. If you were to summarise what it is we do, we train leaders who plant churches. We do a little bit more than that, but that's the guts of what we do. There's a massive need for church planting across in Europe, a huge need. I was just looking at my phone a moment ago to get my stats correct, but in the former, what used to be called East Germany, which is the eastern part of Germany, there's a city called Halle-Saale, and it's about a quarter of a million people. And as far as I know, there's no Pentecostal or charismatic church in a city of a quarter of a million people. Someone we know had a church in that city. That church has now closed down. And that kind of reality describes a number of nations within that central part of Europe. And so we're pretty committed to seeing God at work in Germany, the Czech Republic, Poland, Austria, Slovakia, some other countries too. So we have the privilege of working with heroes who often are planting in environments where there is no Bible-believing church, where there are no known believers, whether that's a small village of hundreds of people or whether that's some large cities where there's a total underrepresentation of the gospel.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's incredible to see you being like a spiritual dad to those guys and to those pastors and church planters that you've been leading.
Thank you.
And dads leave legacies for sons and daughters.
Thank you.
And you guys have done that. And I'm so grateful for your contribution into that space. Mm. And Europe is better because you went.
Thank you.
Could you maybe just share with us a little bit about what was it, when did the Lord speak to you? How did you get there?
So I think I can speak for both of us here. The Lord kept speaking to us. He didn't speak to us once. We're privileged to grow up in environments where there was a very positive pressure and there was a theological conviction that we are all called to actually live on mission, whether it's here or whether it's globally. So that's the theological background to the lives that we lived. And of course, that was cultivated very strongly at particular times throughout our lives. So for me, it's always been about who I am. It's been about what Jesus expects me to do more than it has been about where I am. So specifically when it comes to moving overseas, again, that was something that evolved rather than there being a moment. And I had the privilege of being involved. We have had the privilege of being involved in Europe since 1992. From a full-time perspective, we started doing that in 2012. And then one of the big challenges that we had was actually deciding, do we do this? And Maylin was more reluctant than me. She might talk about that. And she's okay with me saying that. And she has good reasons as to why she was more reluctant than me to actually make that move. But in faith, we made that move. And in faith, we stayed in the centre of what God wanted us to do. And if I can just say one thing, people often say, well, that's so brave of you to, you know, leave Australia, to leave what you know, to leave good jobs, to leave family. Yeah, it's actually braver staying there. And I think that's what a lot of people misunderstand, the courage and the faith it takes to stand in the centre of God's will, not to take those initial steps.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. What were some of the hurdles that you actually had to jump over in going?
In the going, because you're so ignorant, you don't know what you're going to, it's... you trust in God and there's faith in that. So it's not so bad. But when you get there and it's not what you expected it to be, that's the hurdle. That's the real hurdle. And things don't go the way you want them to go. And it's incredibly challenging being away from home, being away from family, being away from what we have here in Australia in our churches is quite unique and precious and beautiful. And when you go overseas, you can take it for granted, don't. When you go overseas, you don't have that. And that's a huge hurdle to get over, not having the strength and the blessing that you've come from.
Wow.
And to trust God and all the newness of it, that's probably the biggest hurdle, to live without that stuff. The preciousness of family and friends is beautiful, and you realise it more when you're away.
Yeah, it's wow,
yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that obviously we're aware of, you've got adult kids now, but how did you guys manage that? How did you do mission as a family? Like, for parents here today that have got maybe young children or children that are coming through into their teenage years, how did you navigate that as a family?
That was probably, for me, the big reason why I wasn't so keen to go. I was worried about my children. And it was the most difficult part also of being away is hoping that my children's faith would be okay, because you're taking them to somewhere where there's not so much strength and support for young people. And first of all, you know, it was hearing from God, it's time to go. This call is not just about you, it's actually more about your children. And so once I heard God say that to me, I thought, shall we, you know, delay it, wait till they finish school, all that sort of stuff. He said, no, you need to go now, and that's because of them. And it was incredibly impacting for them, and has changed their lives significantly. And they both met their partners overseas, and they're now both back here in Australia serving God, loving God.
Wow.
But, you know, one of the most important things for us to teach our kids to be missional was really focusing on teaching them self-denial. To be missional is about thinking about other people more than yourself. It's about wanting other people to have what you want more than what you've got it. And parents, one of the most important things we can teach our kids is how to practice self-denial, how to be okay with the word, no, you can't have your favourite thing. No, you can't have what you want, and you'll survive and you'll be okay. And, you know, just to be so practical in that, one of the things we always did with our kids, I notice a lot of parents when they're about to have a child or they've got a toddler in the house, they say, oh, we've had to toddler-proof our house. We have to move all the dangerous things and all that sort of stuff. And to me, it's like, well, why would you do that? Why don't you teach your toddler how to listen to the word no in your home And so, no, you can't open that drawer. I don't have to put a child safety lock on it. You cannot open. And those kind of practical things we always did with our children from a very young age, we were taught to do that. And it meant they were okay about things not going their way. We didn't always give them their favourite things to make them happy constantly. They had a disciplined heart and they understood the word no. For their safety, don't touch hot things. All I had to say is no, I didn't. And that was probably the most practical and helpful piece of parenting that we were ever given, and it helped our kids on the mission field, and it's helped them today be balanced, healthy people who are okay when things don't go their way.
Yeah, come on, come on. You know, the one word I can see that summarises everything from what you've shared about how you went and then navigating the kids, it's this word obedience, right? Mm-hmm. So you're first obedient to him and then teaching your kids how to be obedient so that they can be obedient to the call.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, can you speak to the church about how important prayer is when it comes to being people on mission? And the prayers of the saints for people on mission, including themselves, but yeah.
Yeah, prayer is the most precious and beautiful thing. And, you know, through 12 years of being away from home, the prayers of our family and friends in the churches have just been so significant. You could feel it when you were on the field. And just the courage and the hope that it gives you that other people are actually with you in what you're doing was very powerful and very beautiful. And, you know, just the answers to prayer. So for us as a church, most of our prayer would be around praying for lost people rather than praying for ourselves and naming lost people and their needs, because, you know, lost people don't get to pray for themselves. They don't get to come to church on Sunday and get prayer. And so that's what we would do. And we would see a lot of influence with God in the lives of lost people because we prayed for them. And that made the ministry, you know, more enjoyable because we would see breakthroughs in the lives of people that we were ministering to. So that kind of prayer for lost people was so, so significant for us and constant. But the other thing was, you know, as I said, being away from home, one of the most difficult things is being away from family. And it's not just the, you know, not seeing them, but it's the sense of responsibility that you have towards family that you can't fulfil when you're away. And my mum, when I was, you know, over in England, she had a bad fall and she, you know, cracked a bone in her back. And, you know, one of the great things about being on mission these days is that you can FaceTime people. You're not waiting for weeks for letters. You know, it's much better. But I remember FaceTiming her and I could see the pain she was in. And my heart, you know, just bled for her. And I thought, I need to be there. I should be there. She can't do stuff for herself. I could see the pain. And, you know, I was heartbroken. And I went to our little church that we planted at that time and said, please, can we pray for my mum? And I said to my, that's all I could say to her, Mum, we're praying for you. And so we did. And our young people, they prayed for her. And, you know, the next day I got a message from my mum and she said, Maylin, thank you so much for the prayers. All the pain has gone. I've gone to the doctor and my back is fine.
Come on.
So that's the power of prayer. And it's just knowing that when you're doing the right thing, God has got everything. It is that, you know, you seek the kingdom first, Matthew 6:32, and all these things shall be added to you. And so in my absence, God had her in his hands and the prayers were answered. And so thankful for that.
Ooh, yeah, come on. Come on. So good. We'll move on now to Frankie. Many of the people in the congregation may know you as the young adult that comes to church, but many of them may not know your story. But can you maybe tell us a little bit about what you were doing in Africa and how God changed your idea of what Africa means? And just give the congregation a bit of context.
Yeah. So my journey with missions has looked a little different in the sense that the opportunities God's given me to go have been around providing healthcare to people that have limited access to that service. So, I guess one of the opportunities was actually going on a missions trip with Numa Church, or it was Bridge Church at the time. But it started well before that as a young teenager, figuring out what I wanted to do. And God really gave me a heart that broke for the fact that there are so many people around the world that don't have access to high quality healthcare. And so he really gave me a passion to be part of the solution. And that looked like studying to be a nurse and a midwife and working here in Melbourne, and then training in public health. And then more recently, it looked like taking up an opportunity to work for a nonprofit in Kenya. And so I lived and worked there for 2 years, and my role there was helping set up a community health clinic and hiring a team and, setting up the systems and resources needed to run that service. And in the first 12 months, we had almost over 12,000 patient visits.
Wow.
Which was very busy and challenging. But, it was such an honour to be just a small part of what God's doing in that community, and the team continues to work really hard to serve that community. But in terms of how that's changed how I see missions, I think it's just been realising that the passion that I have is from the Lord, and that the gifts that he's given me, whether that's my skills or the education I've been able to receive, the resources available to me, that's all given to me to serve others, to glorify him. And it says in 1 Peter 4 that we should all use the gifts we've been given to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. And it really has been, that's been my journey.
Come on. So good. Thank you, Frankie. Now, some of you may know Frankie and some of you may not. She may just be the young girl that you walk past in the foyer on the bathroom or on the way through and just welcomed at the front door and said hello. But when we go, look at the fruit of what happens when we go. And today is a day like this where we get to celebrate the when we go moments and what that looks like and highlight that in the room. But guys, do you know that she's part of your church? She's part of the congregation, raised in the house, sent out on a mission trip, heart for God, moving into those things and stepping into it. So it's amazing what can be unlocked in our hearts when we say, Lord, I'm going to make myself available to go. You know, so important. Ethan, your engagement in missions, again, looks a little bit different, but you've been a part of the Numa School of the Spirit when it was running, and you went on a missions trip as a part of that. What was one of the biggest takeaways that you had from that trip or from that?
Yeah, so during that time, it was probably 2020, kind of three around that point, we kind of did a local mission kind of down to Hobart to go down to Pastor Joel and kind of help out with the Numa Hobart kind of location. It really looked like going on the street. It looked like evangelizing. It was helping out with their events, whether it was their prayer nights or anything kind of that they needed. Even practically, we were kind of there on the ground to help them out because they were still kind of newer, kind of up and coming, still trying to develop a congregation. But personally for me, one thing that really stood out to me, really impacted me was especially around the area of like evangelism, especially going on the street, telling people about Jesus. For me, that's been kind of a long journey where it's one thing that I've really kind of struggled with. But when you're in an environment in which you've got other people who are gifted, who are graced in that, but not only that, when you're a part of a team, when you're around people that you love, that you actually care a lot about, what actually ends up happening is that all of a sudden it becomes from this area where it is very scary, very intimidating to a point of, oh no, I actually feel empowered to go out and do that. Not only that, when you step out, it is, oh, you have people around you that can go, hey, that was really, really good. What did you find? And you can kind of debrief with them. You can learn, you can grow, you can be encouraged. And then even from there, you go out, you preach, and then you yourself find these testimonies, and all of a sudden you have this conversation. You're like, oh, I did nothing, but somehow that person received Jesus, and it kind of breaks this breaks this kind of mindset that I have to be somebody or I have to know the Bible in and out or I need to know this question. It's like it breaks all that down and it goes, nah, simply you just got to be yourself and you got to love someone like Jesus loved them. And you kind of break that down. And yeah, that was probably my biggest takeaway where it's, hey, it's actually not that hard.
Come on. So good. And Ethan, you've obviously, you've done mission, which is to Australia, which is Hobart. It's not like third world country, but it's still mission, right? Yeah. And so one of the things that I've been really inspired by your life is that you've taken that and application and mindset and being like, well, to live here on mission, this is what it looks like in my everyday life. But you're also a part of our open house youth outreach. Could you maybe, yeah, just share with our congregation in and around the open house and the impact on that?
Yeah, totally. Open house essentially is like a Friday afternoon kind of drop-in centre. So obviously just up the road, we've got Richmond High there. For a long time, even during when I was doing that School of Spirit, we were able to kind of go in and do a breakfast program for them. But they at one point were like, hey, we're okay. We actually don't need that from you guys anymore. And so I remember it was under Pastor Thomas's leadership where we were kind of trying to figure out, okay, how can we still reach this high school? And the way that we did that is that what we do Friday afternoon, our garage that we have there, we just open it up and we just, for all the Richmond High kids, hey, come in, we'll serve you. We give them food, we give them snacks, we put up games, so we have a little basketball ring, we put that up. And we just basically make this a really, really safe safe area for them to come. But also as well, it keeps us kind of engaged and is able, helping us able to reach those high schoolers, even some kind of testimonies, because I was having a chat with Pastor Matt and some highlights, some testimonies is that during Christmas time, we're able to hand out 8 Bibles to different kids during that period. And another one which I find is so significant and speaks to me a lot is there was this one Friday where we're having youth, so we're having our briefing period, and it was raining, and one of the students from kind of Richmond High actually came up to our door and like knocked and were like, oh, hey, you okay? And he was like, hey, my parents aren't home. I don't have the key, but I knew you guys were here, so I decided to just come. So and so for some that may not seem very significant, but what really stands out about that testimony is, hey, what we're doing is we're reaching these kids not only to give them a place to kind of hang out where we can chat and build relationship. It's so in those moments they actually feel like they have somewhere that they can come to when they are not. So like for someone like that student, it would be like maybe he would have to go out and do other things, or I don't really know where he would kind of necessarily go, but we managed to find a really safe space for him where he felt comfortable enough to come to a church and take kind of refuge with us for a little while, and he was able to stay for a little bit of our service so he could kind of hear the name of Jesus. But yeah, it's really encouraging. So keep praying as well. If you have a heart, we need volunteers in that area. So if you have a heart to reach out to high schoolers, please come have a chat.
So good. Come on. All right. And Amy, you have been a part of our last year's mission trip to Sri Lanka, and you learn a lot about the power of prayer over there, and you learn a lot about, you know, counting the cost, even on the financial scope of trying to do those sorts of things. Do you want to maybe just share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah. One of the biggest lessons that the Lord taught me when I was in Sri Lanka is that I don't need to feel anointed to know that He anointed me. He has anointed me. And that really showed in prayer when we were praying for miracles and stuff like that over in Sri Lanka. Paul actually mentioned it in the video that played, but we went to a rural church where we prayed for anyone who needed healing. And I remember, yeah, being in that service and praying for people, and I was like, Lord, I feel nothing right now. Like, I'm praying for these people. They didn't speak English. I didn't even know if they were getting healed, and I was like, I feel nothing. I'm like, I don't even know if these guys are getting healed. But yeah, like it's Paul said in the video, we saw so many healings that day, and it was like, yeah, such a miracle. The Lord really moved powerfully. And so that, yeah, definitely taught me to not rely on my feelings when I am stepping out in obedience, because I think it's really easy to do sometimes is to be like, oh, Lord, I'm not feeling it right now. I don't necessarily feel you, so I might just, you know, step back. But no, it was really encouraging for me to, yeah, not rely on my own feelings. And that's transferred into my prayer life as well. And I think it's just encouraging to remember that and to know that when I'm praying, even in like my own quiet time, or if I am out on the street or whatever it may be, even if I'm not feeling it, to know that God is greater than my feelings and to know that I don't need to rely on that and he can still move. Yeah, and then in terms of the financial cost, I think my biggest encouragement is just if the Lord's telling you to go, be obedient and go, because he will make a way. Yeah. One of the testimonies for me with Sri Lanka was the Lord actually provided financially for my whole trip. He covered my whole trip. And it was going to be a financial cost. I'm a uni student. I'm studying full time. But I knew that, yeah, I knew that the Lord was telling me to go specifically on this trip. And I was like, Lord, I will be obedient no matter the cost. Because obviously, like, what it costs, it didn't end up costing me financially, but what it was potentially going to cost me financially, I knew that the Lord was, like, what the people over there were going to receive would be so much greater. And yeah, it was just a matter of trusting the Lord. And I think, like, I got the final funds, like, literally less than a week before we flew out. I got, like, the entire trip covered. So, wow. Yeah, that would be my encouragement. If the Lord's telling you to go, just be obedient and step out in faith and trust that he'll do it. And I think as well, the other thing that's important, though, is just stewardship. And also making sure that we're stewarding when we're not necessarily going on a big trip like that, but it's asking the Lord, okay, what am I stewarding right now in this time and season? And looking after that so that when he does tell you to go, you're ready to go.
Cool. Preach. Hey. So good. So from the neighborhood to the nations, it starts in our everyday life. These guys didn't get to Europe with just the Lord said go. They got there through little steps of obedience, of a neighborhood heart that then went to the nations and that led to there. Each and every single one of them recognizes that it's not just about the big trip overseas, but it's about the neighborhood and the here and now and who the Lord's called me to reach. Could you thank our panel guests today? Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Thanks, guys. Who is your neighborhood? Who is it that the Lord has placed you near, in proximity to, that he's asking you to reach? I shared last week that there are people in our world that we know that need Jesus, and that we actually need to share this good news with them. Because without it, the Bible says that there's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know how you came here today, and maybe you've come with a guest and you're just visiting. But you need to know this, friend. Today, he loves you. He desires that you would know him and that he would know you in a way that would leave you astounded. Because the Bible says that eternal life is this. In John 17, verse 3, it says that eternal life is to know him. And to know him is the only goal. It is the only purpose in the life in which we live. And for us who know him, it is now to make him known. And if you've walked in here today and you don't know who Jesus is, you need to know that he came and he lived as a man on this earth, but that he died on a cross to pay a price for sin that you and I could not pay. And in paying that price, he not only died, but he rose again in order that you and I could have life. And this is the good news. The bad news is that the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death is not just death in the natural, but it's separation from God. But life with him, because of the price that he paid for our sin, means that we have life with him forevermore, to know him here on this side and on the other side of eternity. And I'm simply going to give you an invitation and an extension of that for you to make a decision to follow him today. And all it is simply choosing to say yes to knowing him. This week, I had the incredible privilege to go into a hospital and visit my friend who I've been doing this journey with for the last 9 years. I met him through his wife, who was my hairdresser. Who's in your community? We established a friendship over the last 9 years. And over the last 9 months, I have done a journey with them through the most excruciating and painful time and season of their life, of cancer. And unfortunately, this week, cancer was getting the best of him. Last week, I went in and prayed with him and had a conversation with him and talked to him about failing a miracle on this side of eternity. How do you feel about what's next? How do you feel about the next chapter? I shared here over 2 years ago that I had the opportunity to actually introduce him into who God was, and we had a great conversation. I asked him, do you believe? Yes, he believed. But I went to John chapter 14, verses 1 through to 6, where it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. For I go to prepare a place for you, a place in which you can be with me and I with you. Don't just believe in God, but also believe in Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to the Father except through him. As I shared this with my friend and read this scripture with him in this hospital room this week, there was every interference you could possibly think imaginable. The person needed to come change the sheets. The person needed to empty the bins. The person needed to come and wash the floor, mop the floor, sweep the floor. Then the nurse needed to come in and give some medication. You know, all of heaven wants to see you know who Jesus is, but all of hell is set up against you to prevent that from happening. And friend, I don't know how you got here today, but it's a miracle in the Lord. And I'm simply going to ask you this. As our church begins to pray as they do each week, and as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you this question. Between you and the darkness of your own eyes, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? It's a bit like any relationship, really. At the end of the day, he's knocking on the door of your heart today to ask you to open up and let him in. And all that's required of you in any relationship to start something means to say yes. And so today, maybe there is a resounding yes in your heart that says, I want to know who Jesus is and I want to know him more. And it starts by a simple response of your heart, the belief in your heart, and the confession of your mouth. And what we do here at Numa is we simply lead you through a prayer. It's not a script, it's simply just a response of the heart in order to say yes to him. But friend, just so I know who I'm praying for, like in the same way I sat in that room with my friend this week and prayed with him, just so I know who I'm praying for today, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me today. I actually want to choose to say yes. I want to respond. I actually want to engage in what it looks like to move forward in a relationship with Jesus. If there's anyone across the room today that you know that you don't know him, but today you're responding, yeah? I see that hand here. Thank you so much, friend. Thank you so much. The church pray for you week in and week out that you would know you, because we believe that the lost can be found. And we as a church pray and we do things like this weekend because we believe in this message. Is there anyone else today across the room that would like to say, yeah, you know what, include me in that prayer, and our church is going to join you in prayer today? Well, thank you to the brave person who raised their hand down here at the front. Come on, church, would you join with me as we pray together? And friend, would you join with me in just repeating this? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you came, that you paid a price to take away my sin, a price I couldn't pay. But I thank you that you didn't just pay the price, but you rose again. and gave me victory to live out this life here. And so, Lord, I open up my heart to you today and I say yes to knowing you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, we want to congratulate you on making that decision. Our team would have seen your hand go up. They're going to get a Bible into your hand. They're going to connect you to your next steps. We want to invite you to continue to the journey. And church, would you celebrate with us? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Can I just probe us one little bit further? As I sat with my friend in the hospital room this week, I walked him through what it means to have the peace of God in this life, but what it means to have the peace with God on the other side of it. And it reminded me again of why we exist, why the Lord has called us to be a part of this mission. Friend, we will all die at some point in our life, and we don't get a choice as to when that happens or how that happens. And the reality is that each one of us will be confronted with that moment. The only question that's going to matter is, do you know Jesus? And the only way people can answer that question and say yes or no is if you or I go. It's not a matter of if we go, it's when we go. And the Lord has given you a field to go to, whether it's your hairdresser, whether it's the coffee club, the book club, the darts club, the football club, whatever club that it is. Whatever workplace he's placed you in, there are people that need you to go. They need you to go. How will they know if no one goes? How will they know if nobody shares? Can I let you into a secret? I was petrified. Sitting next to a man who I knew didn't have long left. I had plans to go and see him on Friday to finalize our little conversation and just pray for him again as the weeks were coming to an end. And as I sat in that moment, my heart was racing. My mind was running 100 miles an hour. I prayed all night. I scripted. I was like, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to... And I'm telling you right now, I am no different to you. This is not about the professionals. Just go and do that. You have people in your world that will come across sickness, that will face death, that will walk into eternity. The question is, did you share with them? And I tell you this, as I sat in that room, it's not dependent on me trying to save somebody. That person just simply needs to hear so they can respond. And in responding, that is between them and the Lord. But the question is, did I share? Did I go? Church, you've got a world around you that needs reaching. Can I encourage you to go? To go and to share. And with that, I want to invite you to go beyond your neighborhood. We have a number of trips that we are doing as a part of our missions trips to the nations because we believe that this message is for the world. Our first trip is in Thailand. That's going to be from the 12th of September through to the 22nd. You're going to see some more information here. You can click on the QR code. But, you know, you sat here today and heard about how lives were changed by simply going. Sometimes it takes you to get a mindset shift by stepping out of the country you're in comfortably, going into an uncomfortable place, and then coming back and realizing the mission field that you have. But that's going to happen with Pastor David and Lynn. It's going to be an incredible trip. You're going to love and serve people in the remote areas of northern Thailand. We've got a trip in Cambodia in September or October. Pastor Elvin from our Singapore location is going to be leading this trip. It's going to be amazing. He's going to be taking a bunch of people to go and minister to youth and young adults at a local school. And in working with some of that NUMA Singapore team, it's going to be incredible. They've got wonderful connections there in Cambodia. Then we have a trip to Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya, on the 27th of October through to the 11th of October. Pastor JJ from our East location is going to be leading that trip. An interesting fact, I do believe that trip may be full. And so you may have to beg to get into that trip. They'll be working with our Child Fortress connections there on the ground. It's going to be wild, and I can't wait to hear the testimonies. But then in later in the year, which we're looking for quarter four, there is a trip to Japan. And that's going to be an amazing trip to an unreached people group, and you'll get to visit the people of southern Japan with one of our mission partners over there, Amy Batocchio. And I'm telling you right now, it's open season. Amen?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.